Paro Yosef, ani Paro uvelodecha lo yodim ish es yadayim v'yesragloi b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Paro says to Yosef, I want to introduce myself to you. My name is Ani Faro, I am Faro, uvelodecha, and I'm giving instruction without you. Lo yodim ish es yadayim v'yesragloi b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. No one is allowed to lift up their hand or their foot in the entire land of Egypt. What does this mean? Rashi, Pasuk Mem Daled. Rashi says, Rashi pasuk mem daled zani faro sheyesh yicholus biyadim ligzor gezera al malchusai. I have the power to be goyzer gezera for my kingdom. Vani goyzer shlo yodim ish es yodoy, and I make an enactment that no one shall lift up their hand. Uvilo decha shlo birushoscha dover acher ani faro ani yeyeh melech. I will be the king. Uvilo decha zel dugmas raka kisei es yodoy ragli kitagumai. Okay, so Rashi here says of your two perushim, what it means of Ani Paro. Either Ani Paro means I have the power to make the following enactments. I have the power. According to Rashi's second interpretation, it just means I am the king and you are number two. I am number one and you are number two. Rashi acknowledges that if that's difficult because then there's repetition. What then is the difference between? What then is the difference between Ani Paro, and what it said before, where it said, Vayosa Paris, Tabatomi al Yuvayidin Losal Yad Yat Yosef, Vayaki Vosla Bimrekevis Ham Mishneh. Okay, before, in the previous passage, it says, well, really going, I'm sorry, even going back, Paro said, Re'ena Sati Oyscha al Eretz Mitzrayim. We have to go back even further, Rak Haki Se Egdal Mimeka, Pasik Mem. According to Rashi's second interpretation, he acknowledges that there's really no difference between Pasuk Mem and Pasuk Mem Dal. So Lamda Sharashi. Because Pasuk Mem says, Ata, you, Tihiye al Beisi, you will be in control. The Alpicha, through you, Yishakolami, we learn means that my people will be fed, Mozoin. You'll be in charge. You'll be the visor.
Visor.
The visor. Okay, but you'll be the commissioner. You'll be the secretary of
chief of staff.
The secretary of Parnassa. There's a secretary of defense, the secretary of agriculture, the secretary of health, the secretary of transportation, the secretary of education. And then there is the secretary of Parnasa, food. We're going to make a new cabinet member, a new administrator in the government. There's the secretary of homeland Parnasa, the secretary of food. You will be the one appointed to this position of being the secretary of homeland Parnasa. And that will give you enormous power. Rak hakisei egdal mimeka. The only difference is I am one step on top of you. Rashi asked the question that Pasuk Mem Daled is saying exactly the same thing. Vayomer Paro el Yosef, ani Faro. I am Paro. I'm number one. Uvilodecha, and you're number two. And besides, and without you, lo yorim ish es yadoy v'yes ragloy al eretz Mitzrayim. It's an expression which means I'm number one, you're number two. Pasuk Mem, few pasukim above, Atoki al Beisi al Pichi Shakol Ami Rak Haki Segdal Mimek is exactly the same thing. I'm number one and you're number two. There's almost no difference. The only difference is that in Pasuk Mem, the metaphor is I am the Kisei. And the equivalent in Pasuk Mem Dalet is Ani Paro. In Pasuk Mem, what's your role? V'al Pichoi, through your mouth, Yishak. Call Ami, and in Pasuk Mem Daled, Mibalodecho lo yodim ish es yodoy v'es ragloy. No one lifts up a hand or a foot. And above it said, Al picho yishak kol Ami. All right, so obviously these are expressions. And according to Rashi's second interpretation, it's exactly the same thing. Let me meet up on the Rashi again.
Rabbi. It couldn't be look like this, like Paro reminds him who's in charge.
Paro is reminding
you work.
Your worker.
You work. You do distribution, but I'm Paro.
I'm the boss. I'm the ultimate boss. Yes, yes. Absolutely, this is correct. But what the problem is, Paro said this twice. And we know in the Torah there was no repetition.
Okay. Reminded him twice.
He reminds him twice
in different ways.
Okay. So you have to say that because Rashi is Dabracher, Ani Paro, Ani Eheye Melech Uviladecha. And he Rashi writes, Vizehu Dugmas Ra Kakise. This is now exactly the same thing that it said before in the Pasuk Mem. It's the same dugma, the same example. There's no difference between Pasuk Mem and Pasuk Mem Dal. Rashi's first interpretation says that there's a world of a difference between Pasuk Mem and Pasuk Mem Dal. In Pasuk Mem, Paro says, I'm the boss and you're my worker. In Pasuk Mem Dal, Paro says, I have power to make, to enact the following rule in the country that no one can lift their hand or foot without your permission. It's not telling Yosef, I'm your boss. It's a whole different idea. Let me teach you about government. How many people in the United States of America, there are 320 million people in this country. How many of them know even one amendment of the Constitution? How many of them know what the Constitution is? How many people even know how many members there are? How many there are senators? Can name the President of the United States. Who's the President of the United States? Ask the United States to be shocked.
Jill Biden.
Jimmy Carter is the President. Ask some people. I thought Kennedy was the President. So Paro here is teaching him about the Constitution of Egypt. I'm the king. And the king has power to single-handedly make laws, and no, I don't need the Congress to vote approval. I can do whatever I want here. I'm the boss. Ani Paro, I have power. Maybe where you come from America, and it's a democracy supposedly, not anymore, but there's a balance of power. There are checks and balances. Not in this country. In this country, I'm the boss. I make laws, and therefore, this pasuk according to Rashi's first interpretation has nothing to do with pasuk mem. Let me read this Rashi one more time. Rashi says, "Ani Paro." What does that mean? Ani Paro. Sheyesh yecholes biyadi. I have power. Ligzar gezera al malchusi to make laws. Vani goizer. I'm making a law. Shelo yodin ish es yedo. No one man may lift up his sin without your permission. Uvila decha shelo bereshuscha. Without your permission. Dover acher, another interpretation. Ani Paro, ani ayem, mel, I will be the king, uviladecha, and you're going to be the second in command. Vizehu dugmas rakakise, then if you're going to learn that interpretation, then we're going to run into the difficulty that there's repetition on this page between Pasuk Mem and Pasuk Mem Daled, and as Rav Glazer is telling us, that's not a problem. Sometimes you need to be reminded. Like Hashem told Moshe, Hagbala. Hashem told Moshe, Hagbel es arvikidashto. Then Hashem told him again and again. And Moshe said to Hashem, why are you repeating yourself so many times? I got it. I got the message. No need to repeat. Hashem says, yes, I do need to repeat. You don't get it. You don't understand. I got to repeat the message a few times until it gets into your head. Hagbel es arvikidashto. Okay, two perushim. Then it says, Esyodav Yesragle Kitarguma, Ul Kitargumoi. Again, I always tell you, Rashi did not write a commentary on the Torah. Rashi wrote a commentary on Unkelus. That's called in the world a super commentary. A commentary on a commentary is called in English a super commentary. Targum is a commentary on the Bible, and Rashi wrote a commentary on a commentary. Rashi wrote a super commentary on the Targum. And he refers here to the Targum. What does the Targum say? Amar Paro, Yosef. Paro said to Yosef, what did he say? Ano Paro. I am Paro. Uvor, a person. Mimemroch. Lo Yorim. Member Mimemroch. What does that mean exactly? We have to see. We'll hold over one moment. Lo Yorim. Givar Yosidei. Lemechad Zain. What does that mean? To take a weapon. This goes back to what it said above. You see, now everything's clicking together. What we learned yesterday, Zayn the Yosrag Leilim Mirkav to write Al Susya Chol Ada the Mitzrayim. Unbelievable, he says over here. Okay, no one can lift up their hand, which means no one may bear arms, and no one gets a driver's license without you. Yosef Paro appointed you according to the Targum, and Rashi says ditto. Rashi says kitargumo. It's very rare that Rashi says kitargumo. It happens every once in a while, but not so often. Rashi is not in the business of saying to the unkelis, yasher koichafa, for excellent, excellent work. He doesn't do that. Rashi.
Yeah, hi, Seppi.
Mayor, are you there? What are you doing over there, Mayor?
Yeah, hold on. I have to get a call.
All right, I'll put you on mute. I got you. Mute all. All right. My phone is a little bit different how to do all this stuff here. Okay. So now, Anis over here. So over here, Rashi says something. Rashi, the Targum, says something fascinating. And he says that no one is allowed to bear arms or get a driver's license to ride a horse. Lo yarim ish es yodoi, meaning do not bear arms. And number two, don't lift your foot. Lifting a foot is an expression of meaning do not ride on a horse. Now let's see what we have here in the Ma'atzoi. Nimemrach, v'chein peresh rashi shloi b'reshuscha. Permission. Okay, without your permission. Okay, shiyev shalfarish, you don't have this, I'm reading this something that's safer. Shiyev shalfarish b'lo lecha chutz mimcha, v'chein peresh shloi yadim ish esir chutz mimcha. It can't mean literally that you're the only one in the whole country allowed to lift their head and foot. It's ridiculous. It means no one has permission to lift their hand and lift their foot without you. And what does that mean, your permission? You can't lift your hand? That can't be taken literally. What it means is, no one is allowed to bear arms. And then with Lemirkav al Susya, Kavanah says, Shall Yirkav Adam al Sus Kiyim al Picha to ride a horse? Riding a horse was considered to be a weapon. Isn't that amazing? Today in America, there's a debate in the government. Does a person have a right to drive a motor vehicle? You live in America. America's a free country. The Constitution grants every person freedom. So does that mean that to drive a motor vehicle, it's your right? Or no? No, definitely not. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. A motor vehicle is a kli mashris. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. It can do enormous harm. And the government has a right, even though we live in a country and the Constitution that was authored by people that are human beings and are very susceptible to fallibilities, to errors. It's the Constitution, the law of the land, and the law of the land on the one hand gives, I don't know the nusach of the Constitution, I'm not interested, whatever it says there, there's freedom, maybe I should, there's freedom. And there are also things that the government doesn't let people do because it's dangerous. Dangerous. Is a motor vehicle a weapon? Is it a dangerous object? And that would automatically mean that a person doesn't have the right to have a motor vehicle. You want a motor vehicle? It's a privilege. You have to earn the privilege. Or no. The default is it's your God-given right to have a motor vehicle. But don't abuse it. There are certain things. The default is, can children, I mean, what age? Can you let a child drive a car? Can you do this? It's a whole different approach. A whole different approach when it comes to a motor vehicle. It's fascinating that in this pasuk, that Paro, according to the Targum, according to Rashi, also Kitagumo, Paro said to Yosef, no one in this country has a right to mount a horse unless you give them permission. You know what that means? It means in this country you have no rights. You have no freedom. There's no freedom here. No freedom. Not even, it's not nothing. to ride a horse is a privilege. It's a privilege. The default is no one's allowed to mount a horse. Why? Why not? It must be that it was, I guess it's viewed as a weapon. It's dangerous. And what's very interesting is we're dealing here with famine. It's like martial law. When the economy collapses, a country is vulnerable. There's incredible chokhmah going on over here in the sukkah. Why is Paro basically issuing martial law? What does this have to do with anything over here? Over here, there's a famine come. There are 7 years of plenty. And then there are 2 years of famine. And we need an economist. We don't need a new defense secretary. We don't need a head of police. We don't need a new head of the FBI and the CIA. We need a new economist in order to decide how to deal with the GDP, how to deal with inflation, how to deal with there's a famine that's coming. We need a smart economist to run the country. We don't need a general to run the country. And yet Paro says, okay, I believe what you're saying, there's going to be a famine. And you know what we need in this country? We need a general. We need someone to lead the Department of Justice. Power person to lead the department, to lead the FBI. Why? Because when there's no money and there's no food to eat in the store and all the stores are going to shut down, then what happens is this chaos. And when this chaos, it becomes the Wild West and there's looting and there's violence, there's BLM.
Didn't Yosef give this advice to Paroi?
I don't know. We have to now go back.
Paro is feeding back the advice that Yosef saw in the dream.
Not necessarily. You see, you have to go. Yeah, okay. You don't have time. You have to really go back and study the psukim. But it's amazing that according to the Targum, when Rashi emphasizes Kitargumo, when Paro says, you know, we're having a famine. We didn't. Yosef seemingly, the only advice he gave Paro was, you need an economist. He didn't talk anything about the military. The only thing that we need an economist, the Chimesh, Yaseh Paro. Okay, you want to go back and read some of the psukim? Paro says, Yaseh Paro is V'yafkeit Pikidim al Aretz. Appoint Pikidim. What are Pikidim? Officers. Is that really what it means? Maybe the officers need to go appoint military people? Is that what it means? What does Rashi say the word Pikidim means?
It's telling him put together infrastructure specifically to make sure that there is food and the distribution of food.
See,
and
Rashi,
to put an infrastructure.
Rashi, look at the psukim before. Fine, you go back to verses. Yaseh Paro. This is what Paro should do. He should go v'yafkeit pikidim al oretz. What is a pocket? So there's no Rashi on this. And what is a?
Go ahead, say further. Go ahead.
And what does the Ungla say on the word Pikidim Pasuk Lamed Aleph? Mehemnin al Ara. Mehemnin.
Trusted people.
Vizorzun Yos Ara. What is in Vizorzun Yos Ara? I'm looking back in Pasuk Lamed Aleph.
They will supply the people with food.
But also Shemiras Hat. Oh, maybe not. It's a Shemiras Hatavua Vehech. Zakosam show ye ove mehem dov. Then she get lost. Rashi perish loshen vizirzu hischaskus. All right, this is something which really has.
Yeah, they know how to put it. They put it together with a little dirt, you know, so it doesn't get rotten. Go ahead.
Not maybe what it means.
But keep on going. Keep on going.
V'yikmitzu. So you
keep on going.
Yaseh paro v'yafkei pikidim alaretz v'chinesh. The Chimesh means divide into fifths. Es Eretz Mitzrayim, B'sheva Shnei Hasara. Wait a minute. Now, right away, there's a very good word of the Chimesh. Is there a Rashi on this?
Chimesh means to arm.
Oh. Kitagumo V'yizar. It says, V'chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael.
Right.
What does it mean there? So one, the common interpretation is, Rashi's first shot is a fifth. Only one out of five left Egypt. Four fifths of the Jewish people died 80% of the Jewish people died in Makas Choshech. Okay, then the Rashi is another interpretation. Armed weapons. The Chimesh means they left Egypt with weapons because they're going to a dangerous place, and when you go to a dangerous place, you have to have weapons. So look, you have the same word. Over here, Yosef, you're right, Meir. Yosef says to Paro, you shall yas, you shall appoint officers, al-aretz, v'chimesh, and I guess we can suggest the means, and the officers, military officers.
Yeah, you need military, one, to get the food together. Number two, you need a quartermaster of the arms to put into the warehouses.
That's not what the military
into the warehouses. And third, you need to guard the warehouses. If you don't guard it, what good is it? Everyone can riot and come and take
that's
the food.
Not the military is post office. I mean, the military is to fight. To fight. The United States, you know, I know a chaplain, every once in a while, he doesn't see him anymore. He used to come back to visit once in a while. He would tell us about his journeys all over the world on all these ships, amazing, amazing stuff. So I once asked him which I didn't know any of this stuff. He said, I told him which branch of the military is all the action. So he told me the Marines. Oh, the Marines. I don't know this. The Marines, this is the Spitz. This is like the elite. And then what else? He says the Navy. The Navy, they do all the fighting. I said, what about the Air Force? So he laughs at me. He basically says, the Air Force, the United States Air Force, you know what they do? They're Uber. All they do the whole day is they just transport things from place to place. They're not involved in any fighting. They're not involved in any military action. The Air Force of the United States military, the branch of the Air Force, they just transport weapons. They transport people. They're Uber drivers. They're Uber drivers flying around these big fancy airplanes. They don't do anything, any battle. The ones that fly, when you see fighter jets, that's the Navy. The Navy is the one who operates all the fighter jets. They come off the planes.
They fly off the aircraft carriers.
All the big planes, they Uber. They transport people. They just transport weapons and they transport people. They don't do anything, any military, sir.
The Navy has what's called pre-positioning. They have boats full of supplies, gears, food.
So when you talk about the military and time and power, we're not talking about Uber drivers. We're talking about people doing the fighting, people doing military work. So if it says v'chimesh means to arm, so it's amazing. Yosef is saying there's a famine coming. When the word gets out that a famine is coming, and now we're going to go stock up, you know what you got to do? You have to go and send out the National Guard. You know, it makes a lot of sense.
Protected, of course.
What happened?
Right, otherwise you have what happened. Right.
The toilet paper. Remember the toilet paper? The toilet paper?
Yeah, yeah.
So when the word went out. Oh,
well, you need the toilet paper for the $200 million toilet.
Okay, we're going into lockdown. So what happened? People went with sugar. Everyone bought out the stores. Everyone went into all the stores. They bought out like there's no tomorrow. They stocked up. And then people started stealing. And this chaos. When you're going to send out a message to society, it's brilliant. What the Targum says. When you're going to send out a message to society, we have inside information, there's going to be a famine and the supply chain is going to come to a halt and everyone has to stock up. And we have to, the first thing the government has to do is send out the military, impose martial law during the good times, during the Sheva Shnei Hasavah. Because if you're not going, when people get this, when you send that bad news and there's a panic, that creates chaos. And even though right, everything is fine and good, if the military is not in position in order to protect the order of society, there's chaos. So according to what the Targum really seems to be saying is that Yosef told Paro, this is what you got to do. Before you make the announcement to the world, that there's going to be a famine and we're going to stock up big time. we're going to tax every single yokel, 20% of his assets are going to go into the storage facilities to survive for the next seven for the years of the famine. Before you do that, make sure you hire thousands of policemen to make sure that no one breaks into the stores and steals all the oil and all the gasoline and all this and all that. You have to first prepare for the announcement by bolstering the military. Amazing. And Paro said, there's no one smart as you, Yosef. You're right. We have to first have a general to have a battle plan against society. They shouldn't slip into chaos. And you know who's that's going to be? You're going to be that person. No one in this country is going to lift up a weapon. No one's going to get in a motor vehicle without your permission. Because a weapon, you go into the store. This is a holdup. Stick him up. Clean out the bank here. You get in a weapon, you have a getaway vehicle, you have a horse. First thing we're going to go do is we're going to revamp the military. And you're going to be in charge, Yosef. Put everyone in to make sure there's not going to be any chaos when we make this big announcement. A famine is coming and we're going to stock up. So you're going to be the general of the military. No one's going to take a weapon in their hand and no one is going to get on a vehicle. This is a military exercise. It's a game changer. It's a whole game changer. I always assumed that the whole chokhmah of Yosef was an economist. No.
No, it was more than that.
Yosef was a military.
He had a lot
general.
Of skills.
A lot
he
of
was
skills.
An agronomist. He knew how to keep the wheat shouldn't get rotten. He knew how to collect it. He was a sociologist. He knew how to convince the people to get bris, to get bris milas. He did a lot of things, different things.
A multi-talented.
He was a movie star. He knew that when he went in the street, everybody would
look at him.
You know, gas.
He was like Elvis.
You know, there's a play called Joseph and His Technicolor Dreamcoat, and they actually one section he puts on the coat like Elvis. Oh, whoa, whoa, Joseph, what you gonna do, you know? Really cool.
You know, they played, one of my favorite, Rabbi Wolfson. Rabbi Wolfson says, K'chu l'chem mizimras ha'aretz. What is the zimras ha'aretz? So Rabbi Wolfson, he says, it means zemer, a song. What could you give the man that has everything? Bring him, perform.
A song in his name?
A musical performance for him. Kehulachem perform Mizimras, take the best song. Siyah, 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 in Hallo, Sashali. You sing from an Israeli song. So, and it says, Vayachinu es Hamincha, they practice their performance. It must be then that Yosef had an appreciation for music. Because if a person has no appreciation for music, what are you gonna sing a song? Come on. You have to have the person that goes to concerts. He has an appreciation for music. So you're saying very good. But yeah, so this is now we go back to what we learned yesterday. Yesterday, now this makes a lot, now this over here makes a lot more sense now. You go back to Pasuk Mem. Mem is Ata, T'al Beisi, V'al Picha, Yishak Kol Ami. So we learned yesterday, the word Yishak is related to the word Neshek. What is Neshek? A weapon. You will be on my house. The first thing, it's amazing. The first thing Paro says to Yosef is Pasuk Lamites, Acharei Hodia Elokim Yitzchak Kol Zois, Ein Navon V'Chacham Kamocha. There's no one so smart. Therefore, Ata Yuti Al Beisi V'Al Picha, and through your command, Yishak Kol Ami, weapons will be distributed. My people will be armed. The first thing he says is, you are going to lead the military. Because when word gets out to the whole world, a famine is coming, there's going to be a grab. Everyone's going to go mashug. They're going to go crazy. There's going to be, people are going to start hoarding. They're going to break in They're going to start stealing toilet paper and who knows what. The first thing is, before we do anything, I'm appointing you as the general, and you are to mobilize the country with defense and security, both domestic and against foreign enemies, in preparation of the big announcement, a famine is coming, and we're going to stock up. Incredible. Yishak means neshek. The people have to be armed. We have to protect. And now going back to Pasuk Mem Dalet, he goes into something more specific. Without you, no man can lift up a weapon. A weapon in their hands and ride a horse. Maybe what it means is, maybe if you want to make some drush as to why this repetition, maybe we can say that an apostolic man is foreign security against a foreign enemy. And Pasuk Mem Dalet is domestic. You have the Secretary of Defense, which the military is a defense from foreign nations, and this country is the FBI. That's domestic crime. So Yapari was telling them here, there's going to be a famine. When there's going to be a famine, we got the goods. The whole world is going to come to Egypt to stock up. They're going to stock up, and when the famine will come, they're going to come to buy. So food is going to be a very great commodity, and therefore we need protection from outside influence from other countries coming to steal our food. But not only do we need to protect ourselves from the outside, we need to protect society from each other, from themselves. Because when people start going hungry and they're not going to have food, there'll be chaos in the streets. So we need, the Pasuk Mem is, my nation, the Am is the nation. Foreign defense. You're gonna fix up the military. And Pasuk Mem Dalet.
You know, this is very good. What we learned today in Tehillim, that you need the protection against the Amim, against the Shiftei Kah.
Each other. You need protection.
No, you said Amim means the 12 Shvatim. I need protection against Amim, against the Jews who are going to come down.
Okay, that's a different context. That's a different story. But over here, I want to suggest is that we have two psukim, and the first pasuk, it says, Ami, my nation. My nation means my nation against other nations. There are other nations in this world, and they're going to be suffering like us, and they're going to want to steal our food. You have to fortify the country. Number two, the pasuk over here is pasuk Mem Dalet. It says, Bechol v'lo yod ish es yodovi es raglo. You can't trust the locals. The people among themselves are going to start killing each other when the food runs out.
Uh-huh.
So so Joseph, you're going to be in charge. You're going to be number one, the Secretary of Defense, in charge of the military, and you're also going to be the head of the FBI. Was there such a thing? You have one person who can be in charge of the FBI and in charge of the military.
Department of Justice.
The head of the Department of Justice. Well, they do both. They don't do both. Department of Justice is like the FBI, but that's not the FBI,
and it has the Secret Service as part of it.
Department of Justice is basically is the court system. The FBI is to find the criminals.
It's part of the Department of Justice.
But that's all.
The Attorney General is a part of the.
But that's all domestic. The Department of Justice and the Department and the FBI is domestic. The Secretary of Defense is foreign. It's a completely different beast. When you deal with foreign enemies, they have no rights. The foreign enemies, anything goes. You can eavesdrop. You can do anything you want illegal when it comes to foreign enemies. In this country, they do whatever they want to do, but they can't admit in law, they can't admit in court things that they gain that violate a person's rights. I know someone who, I don't know them anymore, who, I don't even say because they get into trouble because they told me they shouldn't have had. And basically, this person works for the government, and he basically told me, he didn't say, but Pamela is, They do whatever they want. He works. He mamash works for the works. I think he works for the CIA. They do whatever. They don't couldn't care less. They do whatever they want. They have someone in this country, a United States citizen, that they want. They did something. They listen. They eavesdrop. They do everything illegal in the world. The only difference is, if the person is a citizen, they can't take the information that they have and bring it to court. They have to figure out a way how they can somehow make believe that they got the information.
Like they did with Trump. They made up a story that it was overseas.
But he told me if the person that they're looking after is not a citizen, it's as easy as pie. If the person over here is an illegal immigrant and the choysher that he did in Avera. So they just eavesdrop. They listen to his telephone calls. They listen. They watch every website that he goes to. They do, and whatever they find, they immediately go to the judge. The judge stamps it, and the guy's finished. The guy is put away for good. If the person that they did exactly the same thing is an American citizen, the techniques are exactly the same. They listen to his telephone calls. They follow him around. They do everything that you're not allowed to go do in the Constitution. And the only difference is, they can't go to the judge and tell them how they know it. They have to figure out, now that we know what he really did, we have to catch him in the act. But they do the same thing anyway. Okay, so there's a different mahalach. There's a mahalach in the country itself, and there's a mahalach dealing with foreign enemy. And over here, we're suggesting really a two psukim.
Yes,
one person is the foreign, and one person is the domestic. All right, so we lose over one pasuk. All right, that's it. Vayikra Paro, let me just do one pasuk very quickly. One pasuk very quickly. Vayikra Yosef, pasuk Mem Hei. Mayor, you forgot to put on mute. All right, finish up very quickly. Vayikra Paro, Paro said it in 1 minute. Shem Yosef, Sofenas Panech. What does that mean? It means the person who reveals him. Panech means, it means the revealer of the secrets, the person who is Megala the Soil, Waitimoy, it's Osnas Paspal, if you really want to know, if you ask a person, tell me, which parasha in the Torah is the parasha of Shidduch? What are they going to tell you? Oh, everyone knows parashas Chaye Sara. Wrong. The parasha of Shidduchim is parashas Miket. What are the chances that Yosef HaTzadik can get a shidduch? Who's going to marry Yosef HaTzadik? What are the chances? He can't marry a guy, he can't marry a shiksa. What are the chances that Yosef can marry, get married? He's in Egypt, in the Ervas Oretz. Who's he going to marry? Look at this parasha. Hashem prepared for him. Arboim yom kodim ha-yitzira azivuk. Sofnas paneach was there waiting for him. Is that amazing? That who is Osnas Paspat Potifera? Who is this woman? Who is this woman? Osnas Paspat Potifera. She was the daughter of Dina. The daughter of Dina. Dina was raped by Shechem. She had a daughter, and they sent her out. They sent her down to Egypt because of whatever she's having. It wasn't so good to be there in Eretz Canaan. And guess who she married? She married Yosef. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezaveg zivugim. Even Yosef, who was in a dungeon.
She was 2 years younger.
Whatever it was, it's amazing. This is the parasha of Shidduch and parasha Snikes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezaveg zivugim. Even people you think are hopeless, impossible, they'll never get married. And look at that. And when does it fall out?
Even if you think it's impossible, you can get it.
That's right. And when does it fall out? Hanukkah. And how did Hanukkah Hanukkah start? A shidduch. Because the brothers, their sister, the five brothers had a sister.
Right. They wanted to set up the sister was supposed to get married, right?
And therefore the rule was called a boy called Kohanisses, he has to live a lehegmine. And she says, I'm not going to go shake it. It's not nice. So they said, our sister has to get married. So we're going to have to go make a war. And they made a war. And when they made the war, they brought back the Beis HaMikdash with them. It was all about a shidduch. So the story of Chanukah is about a shidduch. And Parashas Nikets is about a shidduch. And it goes to show you the koyach of zivugim, how far it goes. Okay, thank you for listening.
That's where the expression comes, all's fair, love and war.
In love and war, Hanukkah and Parashas Mikates. Well, there's no love. Where's the love over here, Parashas Mikates? All right, Mayor, you're mixing up a lot of things over here.
When it comes to Shidduchim, that's the way it works. You mix a vitamin glutz, and you come out and you make Amvei Geffen, Amvei Geffen.
All right, Basta. Thank you. Ladies, thank you for coming. Have a good night. All the best. Zaygizan. Thank you. Mr. Glatter, thank you for coming. Have a good night. Zaygizan.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you. Servus, Bachi. Rabbi Ephraim.
Yeah.
You know a Gurfine?
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Ian, what are you saying, Mayor?
Do you know a family called Gurfine?
No. Gurfine? No, never
no.
Heard the name. Never heard the name. Who are they? Who's Gurfine?
No, he's a sick guy. Okay. I'll talk to you. What else is doing?
Nothing. Zero, zilch, zippo. Nothing. Someone I know has the flu.
No.
Out cold for 3 days already. I just spoke to him.
Yeah, I think I had a reaction to the flu shot. It was horrible. It was like, throat got all... They say 80% of the hospitals in New York are already packed.
I know. People are very, very sick. A lot of people are very sick now. Very, very sick.
Yeah. And it's going to be very cold weather. It's not going to help.
If you had a bad reaction to the flu shot this year, you really got to ask your doctor if you should take it next year. You know, because I know people. I know a couple. A little couple. They took the flu shot, and the flu shot put them in the hospital. Mom has put them straight into the hospital.
I took this flu shot 2 weeks ago. And the day after I took the shot, I thought I had COVID.
That's horrible. So the people that I know, they took the flu shot, both of them end up in the hospital. And you know, so they never really recovered so well. They never really recovered. One thing led to another thing. So you got it. If you take the flu shot and you're okay, gewaldig. But you take the flu shot and like it knocks you out like crazy, who says it's the right thing to do? These people that I know took the flu shot.
You're right.
Gotta be very, so if you tell you, I'm very, very.